Well, good morning. Good morning. Man, good day. Good day. Got honoring these graduates. It's awesome. Glad that you're with us this morning. If you are our guest this morning, we're especially glad that you're here. I hope you do feel the love of Christ in this place from His people, and we hope you feel the Holy Spirit is here in this place with us as well. There is a white card in the seat pocket in front of you, and would invite you and would love for you to fill that out if you are our guest. You don't have to do that, but would really like to know who you are. Next, is it my calendar? I think it's a week after next. Yeah, in 2 weeks, as Billy stated earlier, I'll have a discovery class. We'll meet at 9 o'clock on that Sunday in 2 weeks in the fellowship hall, and if you want to learn more about Wiley Methodist, you can come to that. At the end of the service today, I'll be down at this end. I'll have a gift for our guests, and if you want to bring your card, and I'd love to meet you. Talk politics, but that's a whole new language. I don't talk politics up here, but this is kind of cool. Our very own Miller Louder Milk, yeah, let's go. Is our new school board representative? Do you have a ring that we kiss, or what? What is there? Is there a procedure here or anything? No ring. Okay, maybe they haven't issued the ring yet. I don't know. But we're proud of you, Miller. We're glad that you will be representing our children. And I'll talk more a second about the sermon series. But last week as Billy mentioned, we started the 40 Days of Praise. If you didn't get a booklet last week, we have some more of those. We have our very own John back here with some booklets. Just raise your hand if you didn't get a 40 Days of Praise booklet, and he'll come to you. Just keep your hand up till he comes to you. He's kind of slow. He's getting older, so you just have to kind of be patient with him. Yeah, keep your hands up, and we'll get those to you. What we're trying to do is, we started last Monday, and Billy preached. Wasn't it good to have Billy back in the pulpit last week? We did a great job. We've been missing hearing from Billy. But what we are trying to do is, there's a scripture that's listed for every day for the next 40 days of this last Monday. And you pray that scripture. You read that scripture several times a day when you get up in the morning, maybe when you eat lunch, and maybe midday, and then and you go to bed. Whenever you think about it, you pray that scripture, and you begin to just build praise into your day. We'll be talking more about that in the sermon today. But glad that you're here. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians 4. Don't you love Philippians? Man, I love Philippians. That's a book of joy. Philippians 4, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Oh, I'm sorry. Rejoice in the Lord what is it?
Always.
Oh, it says always. I'm sorry. I need to check my version here. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, Paul says, rejoice. Seems like he's got something to tell us. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. How many of you, do we get anxious about stuff? About the rent, about our health, about our relationships. Well, God's word says, don't be anxious. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about that. Think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. There's a man who's confident in his walk with the Lord. And the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, because I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. Not because you're needy, not because you need our praise, but because you're worthy of our praise. Because you are God. We ask you now to send your Holy Spirit into this place. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. Change us, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Chuck Swindoll, many of you know Chuck Swindoll, pastor, been around for many years. I like Chuck Swindoll. I like his, he seems to be a genuine guy. Author, and you can listen to him on the radio and so forth. He has this quote that I love when I'm speaking about this topic. I want to read this to you. Chuck Swindoll, he says, "The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life." Uh-oh. He's meddling, isn't he? Attitude to me is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, the education, the money, more than circumstances, than failure, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing we have is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. Isn't that true? And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. A few years ago, several of us got the opportunity to go to the Holy Lands, and we were on a tour bus, and Cheryl and I were sitting together, obviously, and we were going just driving through this Galilee area, the Galilean area, and I mean, it was beautiful, and the tour guide, he's up at the front. You remember this, Susie? The tour guide's up in front, and he's teaching us. I mean, he's standing up facing us, and the bus is going this way, and he's telling, now, this was the region that this happened, and man, I'm kind of a history buff, man, I'm leaning in, you know, and I'm trying to learn it all. And Cheryl, bless your little old pea-picking heart, girl. Cheryl's going, look at those olive trees. Look at those flowers over there. They're pretty. It's like, oh, there's lemon trees. I've never seen lemon trees before. Oh, and then she's just, I'm kind of giving him one of these, you know. I'm like, I'm trying to go ahead and show. That's reminding me. Cheryl's the guy on the right on the screen. I hope I wasn't the guy on the left. But see how they're on the same tram or whatever that is, but they're seeing the world totally different. Now we were both having great joy, but I don't know, Cheryl, I saw that cartoon, it made me think of you. I was trying to be the diligent husband and listen to my wife rave about the olive trees, but I really wanted to hear what this guy was saying. Anyway. So I had a choice, didn't I? I had an attitude. I needed to keep my attitude right. So today we're continuing the sermon series on hallelujah living. Hallelujah living. Today's message is praise is a choice. Praise is a choice. Now, as we, that word hallelujah, you know, we associate that with church and with the Psalms and different things, but it basically means to praise the Lord. Hallelujah means to praise the Lord. And so our life should be, I mean, what Scripture is teaching us is our life should be this demonstration of who God is. And it should be, we should be walking, talking, breathing praises to God. If we are truthful, sometimes we do okay at that, and perhaps, maybe I'm just speaking of myself. I'll let you decide what where you are. But sometimes we maybe do pretty well at that, and other times not so much. I know this, and I'm trying not to be trivial with this, but if you're a dog person, you're gonna realize, you know, that these kinds of things hurt. Cheryl and I, we lost a dog about a couple of years ago, Cheryl. We lost a dog that, and Cheryl's really a dog person, and we lost this precious little dog that we had, and it was hard on us and everything. And we've got this other dog that's kind of aging, and she's getting to the end of her life, and so we got a puppy roughly about a month ago, and last week, right before church, I get a text from Cheryl, and she said she went to get the dogs up, and the little puppy, who I mean never sat still, she either sleeping or she was full go. Was really lethargic and so forth. And to make a long story short, she ended up taking the dog to the ER, the vet ER, and the little dog had gotten into some poison, and we lost the little pup. Now, man, I want to tell you, life can get a lot tougher than losing a puppy. I understand that. But at the same time, we get attached, don't we? And those little critters become kind of like members of the family, you know, and it doesn't take long for that to happen. And you know, in the midst of that, I don't think God is telling us that, you know, we have to be, you know, doing joyful jumping jacks in every circumstance of life. What he's saying is in the midst of the circumstances of life, he's still God. You know, when the puppy gets into the poison and we lose the puppy, he's still God. He still loves us. He's still on the throne. And because of that, we praise him. Even if that for that moment we're going through some sort of a trial, so I want to step through some just as we think about this idea of hallelujah living. First of all, for the Christian, and this is in the title of the sermon, praise is a choice. It's a choice. We have a choice to, no matter what the circumstances. If you know the thing about you know, if we ebb and flow with our circumstances, we're, man, that's what the world does. I mean, how hard is it to be happy when everything's perfect? Everybody's healthy. Everybody's happy. We got plenty of money. We got good jobs. Everybody likes us. We're good looking and all of that. I mean, you know, y'all don't get jealous because I'm talking about myself here. But, yeah, I mean, if everything's perfect in our life and we're happy and we're praising God, Scripture tells us so. I mean, basically, that's what it's so. No, God wants us to praise him in every season of life, and that's the challenge. Praise is a choice. And so I believe the most powerful thing that we have resides right here. I mean, we have a choice to embrace. I don't know if anybody else, maybe I'm just weird, but I find myself occasionally, I don't know why, it seems like when I get by myself and don't have a whole lot of other things on my mind or whatever, suddenly I'll kind of, it'll dawn on me, it's like I'm thinking about something negative. I think that comes from the enemy. It's like I'm thinking about somebody that may have said something to me years ago. Anybody else? Or done something to me years ago that I don't even see that person anymore. And I find myself going, man, that, you know, I'm just going to pick a name. Some of you may. That Jim, man, I can't believe he did that. I can't believe he said that. And you just, man, if you let it, it just sits there. And it just rolls and it rolls and it rolls. And suddenly you find yourself angry. I hadn't seen Jim in 40 years. I don't even know if Jim's still alive. But I mean, praise is a choice. And it's in right here is where it begins. Finally, brothers, this pastor says, what passage says, whatever is true, if it's noble, if it's right, if it's pure, if it's lovely, if it's admirable, if it's excellent or praiseworthy, think about that. That's what the word says. Think about that. It doesn't say, Paul doesn't say, whatever frustrates you, whatever makes you angry, whatever is harmful and sinful, think about that stuff. Dwell on it. Because that'll make your life full. The word doesn't say that, does it? But don't we do it sometimes? Things that frustrate us. I mean, it's crazy. In Paul in 2 Corinthians, he says it this way. He says, take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Take it. If you're thinking about this stuff, and that's what I do when I find myself, those thoughts are rolling around my head, and sometimes I just kind of go, what are you doing, Hatcher? Why are you thinking about that? And I'm just like, in the name of Jesus, I reject that thought. I don't claim that thought. I reject it. I stand against that thought in the name of Jesus. And then you just, you shift and you begin to praise God. Because God loves us. I don't know why this little phrase came to my mind as I was thinking about today. We have a choice to praise or pout. Praise or pout. Now, if you've been in church here with me long enough, you know this phrase. What do I call it when somebody is a whiny honey, basically? Man, y'all, that's the only thing y'all have ever learned from me. That's it. Nothing else. But they know what a joy sucker is, David. That's if you're new to the church, that's when you walk in the room, or some person walks in the room, and all the joy just sticks to the wall. I mean, it just is like a vacuum sealed. And you've heard this before too, church. If you can't identify any joy suckers in your life, it's probably you. It just is. And man, if we're truthful, sometimes we're all joy suckers. We did a goofy garage sale this weekend over at my mother-in-law's, and man, I'd literally rather have my head stitched to the carpet than do a garage sale. But I had to work it. Like, okay, all right, I'm going to have a good attitude. I'm going to be joyful. When these people come in here, you know, and we got something marked at a dime and they want to give you 2 cents, I'm going to be joyful. Sometimes you just have to take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. Praise is a choice. We have a choice to praise or to pout. Because one thing that we need to, if nobody's ever broke it to you, here we go. I'm going to tell you something brand new if you've never had this told to you before. Life isn't always going to go the way you plan it. It's not. Sometimes people are going to be ugly. Sometimes you're going to get cut off in traffic. Sometimes people are going to be rude. Sometimes, you know, there's going to be illness. There's going to be people that are not nice to you. All sorts of things. Sometimes it's just not. Speaking of the garage sale, I was, you can tell, I'm over it now. I'm over it. Take every thought captive. There was a gentleman that bought something at the garage sale, a nice man, and it was pretty big, and so I was helping him carry it to his car, and he said something. Oh, I remember what it was. He had a keychain. And I'm not kidding you. It was something they had woven this keychain together. It was about this long. And they said, my preacher gave me this keychain because I kept losing my keys and I'd be late for a meeting. And so he put this long old keychain together. And I said, who's your preacher? And they named somebody. I didn't know them. And I said, I was just wondering because I'm a pastor too. I said, I don't even know your preacher and I like him. because that's kind of funny. And so that kind of opened the door to, you know, a spiritual conversation. And he said, you're a pastor? And I said, yeah. And he said, man, he said, I got a divorce 2 years ago. And he said, I had to crack open my Bible. He said, man, I had to press in to the Lord to walk through that. And he said, because of that in my life, he's grown closer to the Lord. And I was like, man, that fits exactly with where I'm preaching this morning. Which leads me to the second thing. For the Christian, praise is not just a choice. Praise is learned. And we don't like this piece of it, but it's learned through trials. Two times in these few verses here that we read today out of Philippians 4, Paul says, I have learned, there it is, to be content with whatever the circumstances. He's learned it. Well, okay, then he skips down to the next verse. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry or living in plenty or want. I mean, no matter what life throws at you, I've learned to be content. He learned these things. We know from his, the scripture, the way we see what Paul went through. He learned it through trials. This is just a glimpse of the biography of Paul. He was falsely accused many times. He was whipped, imprisoned, beaten. In Acts chapter 14, I love this. They beat Paul for proclaiming the gospel. They drug him to the edge of town and just dumped him at the city limit sign, thinking he was dead. His disciples found out about it. They came and they picked him up and they kind of nursed him a little bit. And you know what? You know what I'd have been doing? I'd have been hauling to another town. Paul, it says, he goes right back into the town. They just beat you thinking you were dead, left you for dead at the city limits. He goes right back into town. He was shipwrecked many times. He was ultimately beheaded for his faith. And yet he praised the Lord. He learned to be content in any and all situations. I ran across this goofy little slide here that I wanted to show you. This is a therapy dog after I get a hold of it. I don't know if you can see that dog, but the longer I look at that picture, the funnier it gets. But those therapy dogs are supposed to be all cuddly, and that one's like freaking out, man. Okay, Lee, that poor dog needs some break there. You know, some things in life happen to us, but I just was thinking so much of the things in our lives, so many of the struggles in our lives are really self-imposed, aren't they? I mean, I've had it in my own life, and I've talked with people in ministry, and generally, people who, I mean, it doesn't mean that if we walk in faithfulness and walk praising the Lord that life is going to be simple and easy. And all. It doesn't mean that. But so many times when life is just a mess, I mean, talking about just a mess, it's generally self-imposed. It's like alcohol addiction, drug addiction, sexual addiction, just not walking with the Lord. I mean, on and on. And those things, when we're outside of the Lord, they just create chaos in our lives. When we're walking with the Lord, yes, we still live in a broken world. We still have death and illness and trials and so forth. But, man, it's different. It's different. You don't have to untie. You just have to kind of work through dealing with the circumstances that you're dealing with. You don't have to untie the knot. Is that making sense to anybody? It's like half the time when I visit with people, and I know from my own life, it's like before you can even start trying to heal, you got to untie the broken knot, the mess that you've got your life in before you can really begin to heal. 1 Peter says it this way, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There he is, praising. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come, listen to this, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined through fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So we understand, we praise God because of who He is. Even though the trials come, those trials are refining us. Those trials are proving our faith genuine. And guess what? That all produces praise to God and glory to God. I've said this before, but I wasn't planning on saying it, but it just stuck with me. It's been this past September, 18 years since we lost my brother very suddenly and tragically in the pipeline blast. And I remember when we were at the hospital in Lubbock, the nurse saying to me, thanking our family for the testimony that we were. And man, in my mind, I'm just thinking, we're all a mess. I mean, we're a mess. But I remember so clearly the words that she said to me. She said, I do this all the time. I work in this burn unit all the time. I see tragedy all the time. And I can tell when someone has faith and when they don't. Because there's either one of two things are going on. Either there's peace or panic. Let that sink in for a second. In the midst of trauma and trials in our lives, there's either peace or there's panic in the midst of that. Man, God, even when we face those trials, God is with us and He is worthy of our praise. Thirdly, and lastly, for the Christian, praise produces peace. I just talked about that. Praise produces peace. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Now listen to this. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now here's the payoff. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So let's slow down with that just a second. Saying, rejoice in the Lord. So it's basically three things. I mean, if you can summarize that, to rejoice, to pray, and to give thanks, and the result of that is peace. Transcends understanding. It transcends our circumstances. It's like when the world is like just this chaos moving all around us, and yet Christ is steadfast. He is the foundation of our life. And I look through our congregation this morning, many of you, I'm not going to mention your name because I don't want to embarrass me. Many of you, I've seen that in your life. I've seen that when things are hectic and seem out of control, and there's great trials and great loss and so forth. And it's like, man, I've just seen, y'all have been a witness and a testimony to me. And I've just looked at that and go, whew, what do we do without Christ? What do we do without Christ? Rejoice, we pray, and we give thanks, and the result is peace. Peace that transcends understanding and circumstances. Today's verse, how many of you, just not to embarrass anybody, how many of you have been trying to do the 40 days of praise? A bunch of you? Great, awesome. I hope you stick with that. So, and if you haven't been doing it, man, jump in there. Jump in there. Today's verse, today's verse is this. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I want to slow down on that for just a second. Delight yourself in the Lord. Just press. I use this terminology a lot. It just makes sense to me. Press into Him. Delight yourself in Him. Know who He is. Work on that relationship with Him. When you delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. It doesn't. He's not the cosmic Santa Claus in the sky. That's like, oh, you'll. If you delight yourself in the Lord, if your desires of your heart is this massive, big, new home. No, it's like if we delight ourselves in the Lord, if we press into the Lord, the desires of our heart are going to match Him. They're going to match His desires, His will for our life. Maybe if we're pressing to Him, maybe the desire is to restore relationships. Something simple. Just like, you know, you hadn't talked to your spouse or your son or whoever, you hadn't talked to them in 10 years. Maybe it's just a restored relationship. I mean, I think that would be the desire of God's heart is that we, Jesus prayed, one of His last prayers is that God's people would be one, that so that the world would know that Jesus was Jesus. So we delight ourselves in Him, praise Him, and He'll give us the desires of our hearts. And if we're really delighting ourselves in praising Him, then our heart is going to match His heart. Shake your head if you're hearing what I'm saying. Man, I don't know how anybody walks through life without Jesus. I just don't. I'm so glad that I know Him and He knows me. And I hope that you know Him as well. You know, as we come to partake of this meal today, Jesus, he gave us this meal. I preached a series on the Lord's Supper and baptism just, I don't know, a few weeks ago. And He gave us this meal as a remembrance of what He's done for us. But He also, supernaturally, somehow, He is present at this table. I mean, He indwells, He embodies this table. When we come and partake of this, I don't believe that the bread physically turns to His body, and the juice doesn't just turn to His blood. But that's symbolic. But I do believe that He is present. He's active in our lives, and when we come and participate in this meal. We all come from different traditions, but let me just kind of set this up just a little bit. Basically, we have what we call an open table. It doesn't mean that anyone is welcome here. I want that to kind of settle for a second. It doesn't mean that anyone is welcome here. There are some criteria. You need to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He needs to be your Lord. And we need to come with a repentant heart, a heart that is humbled before Him. But you don't. What open to us means is that you don't have to be a member of our church. You don't have to be a member of our denomination or anything like that. That's the openness of it. I love that. One of the things that I really love is that we understand that it's not about the United Methodist Church. It's just not. It's about Jesus. This is His body, His blood, and it is about His kingdom, people that belong to Him and His kingdom. So it begins with that place of confession that Jesus is Lord, and we confess our sins before Him. So if you would just pray with me in your own heart, that prayer in your own heart of confession before Holy God. Father, we thank You for this table. We thank You for this bread and this cup. May they be for us the body and blood of Jesus. Thank You that You died for us. Thank You that the tomb couldn't hold You. That You live, and because You live, we live. In the name of Jesus Christ, church, You are forgiven. Amen.